Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
First, there was sharp criticism of the slow pace of the COVID-19 vaccine rollout at both the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael parliamentary party meetings last night. Taoiseach Micheál Martin assured his party that he has spoken with HSC Chief Executive Paul Reid about the issue and said that the government will engage with the HSC to ensure there is proper communication. Well, the former Agriculture Minister Dara Cailleary was one of a number of TDs to raise serious concerns about the HSC's ability to deal with the rollout. And I'll speak to him in just a moment. But before that, I want to talk to Dr. Peter Sloan, who runs a single-handed GP practice in Carrow in Connemara. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Let's not put a tooth in this. You fear this vaccine rollout and how it's being done. It's going to put you in an early grave.
Yeah, well, I said that to your research this morning, and after my experience last weekend, it might not be too far off the mark. I'll tell you about my experience, which is a number of weeks ago, a decision was made to move to Pfizer and Moderna for GPs in the community. We'd vaccinate everybody in age sequence 85 upwards, and that's fine. So we made plans to do that in the surgery. And then on the 19th of February, we got an email asking us to order Pfizer, which we did, and that afternoon, almost all of my colleagues in Connemara, without warning, without having ordered it and without requesting it, received large deliveries of Moderna vaccine.
But you didn't get any of those?
No, I got not a drop of vaccine, not a drop, not an atta of a drop. So I've got 270 patients over 70 years of age waiting for the vaccine. We've made huge plans over the last couple of months to do that. And I expected to be receiving a delivery this Monday, the 1st of March, to vaccinate my over 85s on Tuesday, the 2nd of March. On the 19th of March, my colleagues all received, virtually all of them, there's one other practice in Clifton Town that is in the same position as me. All my colleagues out here got Moderna vaccine, hundreds of doses. And so, I work very closely.
Sorry, Peter, I just want to make sure that we're really, the people listening are really clear on what happened. When they got the, when your colleagues in the other practices got the Moderna vaccine, what did they do with it?
Well, they first of all, were quite shocked, quite surprised, and then very quickly made plans to be able to deliver those vaccines to the patients. And, it did a magnificent job over the following week of vaccinating as many people as they could, starting 85 plus and downwards. And got all their patients vaccinated. So my colleagues did a superb job. This is nothing to do with the GPs. I mean, any GP in the country that was sent as much vaccine as they could manage, they would deal with it.
So they gave it to people who were younger than 85 down through the age groups?
Absolutely, as any GP would have done. And I'm not quite sure how far down that has gone, but I know that there are numbers of people in Connemara under 70 who have received vaccinations through no fault of the GPs. The GPs here did exactly what they should do. They did it quickly, efficiently, effectively and safely. And my colleagues in Connemara have done a magnificent job of vaccinating patients.
But the problem for you is you're in the community and people are saying to you, yes, Peter, where's my jab?
That's exactly what they were saying to me. I lived 2 minutes from my surgery. I was getting eviscerated here personally for why I hadn't vaccinated anybody. And the truth is, I didn't have a drop of vaccine in the fridge. So I got on the phone. I made vociferous protestations to the HSE. I have a very nice, helpful lady that I'm dealing with who equally was at the pin of her collar. And on foot of that, at 5 o'clock last Friday, I received a phone call asking me, could I take 120 doses of Pfizer vaccine at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning?
You had just explained to us earlier, you had plans in place to receive that vaccine on Monday of this week.
Monday of this week, that's right. As it happened, I got 30 doses on Monday as was planned. But I was asked on Friday at 5 o'clock if I could take 120 doses at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, which we made a decision within 30 seconds in this practice that we would do. We received the delivery at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. It went into the fridge. All my staff were here from 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we put together a vaccine clinic for between 120 and 140 people, all telephoned, all organised with an appointment time, a tarpaulin built outside my practice, everything organised, the Coast Guard organised to come at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And by 5:30, there was not a sign or a sight of needles or syringes with which to deliver the vaccine, despite having been promised and despite having made 3 phone calls on Saturday. I drove around Connemara on Saturday night getting needles and syringes from my colleagues. There's a very, very kind manager in a podiatry unit in Merlin Park Hospital who came in his own time and opened up the unit to give me needles and syringes. And I have to tell you, I haven't experienced such stress in such a long time.
That's crazy, Peter. I'm sorry. Like, so people listening to this, you're driving around on a Saturday night in your car looking for needles and syringes.
Yep, that's exactly what I was doing. And I got an email then at 9:30 on Saturday night from my contact in the HSE telling me that there would be an emergency delivery sent to me before 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. This is when a clinic is already planned at 10 a.m. on Sunday. That arrived at 9:15 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we then ran in 6 hours. We vaccinated 120 people in the local community. We did it safely. We did it efficiently. We did it effectively. But the stress caused to my patients, the division within a local community of three GPs having already been able to vaccinate their patients and mine having received none, the stress to me, the stress to my staff, and having put us to the pin of our collar, like, that will put me in an early grave.
So who have you vaccinated now in your practice?
Yeah, so we got another 30 doses on Monday. We vaccinated 30 more people on Tuesday, and we're down to about age 78 now.
Okay, and you work from there. And what happens next now in terms of delivery? Any indication?
I placed an order yesterday morning for remaining vaccines, and I have been promised because we are so far out of sequence, we're all over the place because of what has happened in the local community here, that my contact has assured me that I will receive the remainder of my vaccines on Monday the 15th of March, to run a vaccine clinic on Tuesday the 16th. As it stands right now, I have no confirmation. We are informing our patients of what they may expect, but we will just be ready to go with whatever comes our way. Mm-hmm. The problem with this, the problem with the Pfizer vaccine versus the Moderna, when my colleagues received these huge numbers of vaccines, they had 30 days in which to deal with that. So, you know, if you don't get needles and syringes, you're not under pressure. With Pfizer vaccine, you have 120 hours. So you can't delay. You have to use it. And not having needles and syringes is an absolute crisis. It's running the risk that Pfizer vaccine will go to waste.
And you know, you have to be very careful with how you use it in terms of getting the doses out of the vial that you have. Do you have to have a particular syringe and needle in order to get the most out of it?
Absolutely. I would say that if you don't have the proper needles and syringes that you have, that to get the 6 doses out of each vial could be quite challenging. So having the right equipment is of crucial importance for this vaccine. It takes a fair degree of concentration to mix it and to draw your doses. I was fairly exhausted, as was my nurse, at the end of vaccinating 120 people on Saturday. But we have a magnificent team here in my practice and locally in the community. Everybody came together. My patients were delighted to have the vaccine, as we are to give it to them. And throughout Connemara, all the GPs that have vaccinated patients have done a superb job. And the people I'm dealing with directly as individuals are working very, very hard. But this is not rocket science. The HSE knew a vaccine was coming from last April or May. They knew this. They could have had plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. You do not send three GPs in one small community vaccine A and GP number 4 vaccine B.
What needs to happen now? From the HSE's point of view, what should do they need to do in order to make this easier for you?
There needs to be absolute clarity. There needs to be good communication. There needs to be confirmation when an order is placed quickly that it will be delivered. There needs to be a guarantee that needles and syringes will come with the vaccines. There needs to be time given so GPs can pull it off. We don't need much time, but we just need to have a little bit of communication so that we know what we're doing and we can get on with it. We will deliver. GPs are fantastic. As I've told you before, Claire, a number of weeks ago, we can deliver whatever's asked of us, but you can't do it with your arms tied behind your back, blindfolded, and driving around for needles and syringes at 8 o'clock on Saturday night in the middle of the dark.
Peter, thanks very much for telling us about that. That's Dr. Peter Sloan, and it's not an isolated experience because we were in contact with another GP in another part of the country this morning who's still waiting for a delivery, and she told us that they contacted the HSE GP vaccine support line again yesterday and were told that they might be getting vaccines on Monday, but it couldn't be confirmed. We're advised to ring again tomorrow, Friday, to get confirmation of delivery on Monday. Well, I'm joined on the line by Fianna Fáil TD from Mayo, former Agriculture Minister Dara Cailleary. Dara Cailleary, this is, as I said, not an isolated situation. You have had similar stories delivered to you in your own constituency.
Yes, good morning, Claire. I have, and I also last night when I raised this to the Parliamentary Party, our Parliamentary Party Chairman, Brendan Smith, in Cavan, and Monaghan, Joe Flaherty in Longford. And I also understand there's difficulties in the north side of Dublin, so it's not just a rural issue. Our colleague Sean-Paul Mahon raised an issue with me last night. So, and it's exactly, Claire, as Dr. Sloan has described it there. But what you get from Dr. Sloan is the passion that GPs have and their staff and pharmacists to deliver this. And we want that passion now to be, we want the HSE to use that passion in the best possible way. So that's why we're highlighting the issues.
So the issues, HSE, you would imagine, know what they're going to get in at any given time. Like, this is a logistical issue. It needs to be smooth from the get-go rather than what seems to be in place now, which is a bit of panic if you listen to what Peter Sloan had to say.
Yeah, I've made this point. I know there are difficulties around supply and there are difficulties around visibility of supply, and that's beyond the HSE's control. But what we do know is that I would imagine at the beginning of every week we know exactly what supply is there for the week. And at the beginning of every week they should be in a position to notify GPs around the country of their allocation for that week. They have to give them more than 48 hours notice. You're dealing with a cohort of patients that are, you know, you can't move them literally at no notice. I have also heard Dr. Sloan's story about the late delivery of vaccines on a Friday night, stroke Saturday morning, being repeated to me. It happened in Mayo, and also the issue around consumables, around the syringes. So I've raised these issues with the HSC. Now, they have, things are improving this week. I want to, you know, acknowledge that. And I also, Claire, want to acknowledge the rollout of vaccines in nursing homes was hugely successful, but it was based on communication. It was based on constant communication, and it was based on a partnership between the HSC and the nursing homes.
Yeah,
and they're the principles that we want to apply here.
And we're all relying on this to go well. Every single citizen in this country is relying on this to go well. Do you have confidence that the HSC... I just want to ask you, this is Chris. He was quite confident
about the rollout.
And then he was are you, though?
He made the point. He vaccinated in his practice 144 people last week. In 6 weeks' time, he'll be expected to vaccinate 700 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn now all of the difficulties of the last 3 weeks, and there have been many. They need to be ironed out now so that when we get to the stage that our local GP, because we won't all be able to access the vaccination centres, they're not accessible to many of us. But what I want is that when the HSC get up to that 700 vaccinations in your GP practice a week, that there are no issues like this.
We know that you have raised this on three consecutive weeks at the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting. Do you have confidence that the HSC can do this rollout in the way it needs to be done?
Look, I do, based on the phenomenal job they've done on the on nursing homes. I think that that was an incredibly difficult situation.
That's different,
and it was
though.
Difficult
it's
in
different.
The context of ongoing outbreaks. But what they need to show is that they are listening to the GPs, and we're also going to involve pharmacists and dentists in this. They need to put in place a proper logistics system. You know, it seems basic, Claire, that you know on a Monday you have visibility of the supply for the week. You know the difficulties around the Pfizer vaccine. And I was also very shocked last night to hear that the HSC are only contacting homebound patients this week. They're only contacting GPs to get the details of housebound or bedbound patients this week. That should have been done weeks ago. Because, you know, if these people are homebound or housebound, a plan has to be put in place as to how to get them. I know they can do that, but I'm just very frustrated as to how late they're getting around to doing it.
There were calls early on in this process for a vaccine minister, just like they have in the UK. I mean, given what we're hearing now, it would look as though there is even more reason for people like you to step up and say, yes, we need that, perhaps even to offer your services.
Hello, Claire. Sorry, I'm losing the line there.
I was asking.
Sorry, you're back. My apologies.
Did you hear my question?
No, I didn't. No.
So I was talking about the calls that there have been in the past for us to have a vaccine minister. And given what we've heard, it would seem as though perhaps we need one. And I'm wondering whether you agree that we should have one and whether you might be available to serve.
No, I don't think we need one. I actually, in fairness, I think Stephen Donnelly, Mary Butler and Anne Rabbit and the team in health are doing a very good job on this. This is logistics. This is, you know, stuff that can be sorted without. Ministers don't have to be running around the country chasing after vials of vaccines. It's logistics. It's communications. But I do know, and having spoken to Stephen, to Mary and to Anne, but also to the Taoiseach, that they are very concerned at this and they're working with the HSC on this. So it doesn't need a minister. It just needs a little bit of planning, a little bit of communication. The kind of principles that went into the rollout of the nursing home programme, if they're applied to our GPs, to our pharmacists and to our dentists, we will have the same success.
Okay. All right, Dara Cleary, thank you for joining us on the programme. I'm joined now by Professor Mary Horgan, who's President of the Royal College of Physicians of Ireland and a member of NEPHIT and also Infectious Diseases Consultant at Cork University Hospital. Good morning, Professor Horgan.
Good morning, Claire.
You can understand how people might be concerned. We're going to talk about the impact of the vaccine in a moment, but concerned at the problems being experienced with the rollout.
Well, I think we're losing one key issue, which is the amazing reality of what these vaccines bring, and what they bring is hope. I mean, it's been a particularly difficult time for every single person in the country. And the rollout of the vaccine was always going to be a huge operation. Work was going to have to be done on it. But the reality on the ground is that they're actually working. I can appreciate the frustrations out in the community, certainly in the hospital groups where vaccines were rolled out early from the 29th of December. You know, it was slow to start and then ramped up very quickly. That was the experience in the hospital. And I've no doubt, and I have a sister who's a practice nurse up in Killybeg. She's starting vaccination today with her husband. And likewise, it was slow to start in the hospital and then just took off. And that's why we're seeing the huge benefits of essentially what happened is that the vaccination of the healthcare workers turned off infections in healthcare workers.
And that's what you're seeing from the data?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been phenomenal. We were tracking the number of healthcare workers infected from January into February, and essentially it just turned off in February. And likewise, the number of hospital admissions, for the first time yesterday, we had nobody who was admitted into the Cork University Hospital with COVID yesterday. That's phenomenal. And it's not just because the community numbers have dropped, given that we have a variant. It's actually because the vaccines work. And what's going to happen in the coming weeks is the vaccine rollout will be a lot smoother. We will have newer vaccines. The J&J vaccine is undergoing evaluation in the European Medicines Agency, and hopefully we'll have good news on that next week. And that is a game-changer vaccine. That is a single dose that can be refrigerated, so all the logistics the GPs have been dealing with will be so much simpler when
okay.
that comes out.
The other one that we have access to is AstraZeneca, and I see that in Germany they've decided to extend the administration of AstraZeneca to over 65, so not just the under 65s. Do you think we should do the same now here?
If the science says that it works in the over 65-year-olds, absolutely. I think the quicker we can get vaccines out into as many people as possible, the better. And if the science says that we should do that, I've no doubt that NIAC will look at the science and give a recommendation based on what the latest data. This is a very evolving situation. I mean, the really good news about the vaccines are that the clinical trials have been borne out in real life. We are seeing less hospital admissions. We are seeing less deaths, less severe infection. And that is so important for the rest of our health service because it allows us to, you know, ramp up all our non-COVID hospital services again. And that is absolutely key to this. I will say that this has been incessant on healthcare workers and indeed the administration, the HSE. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for a year. And I do think that the positive messaging about everything that has been done, including rolling out of a very complex operation, should be acknowledged so that people do have confidence in our health service. And indeed, those who have spent a year trying to control this.
Yes. I take that on board, but it is very distressing for people to hear a doctor chasing around on a Saturday night looking for needles and syringes. You're involved in the work looking at rapid testing. Do you expect that we will see rapid testing in use more widely soon?
Yeah, I suppose rapid testing really would be an additional tool in our current tools that we have to prevent the infection. So basically our strategy here is layers of mitigation, so hurdles that the virus has to jump. And rapid testing is one of those. I suppose essentially what it does, it gives you an answer to see if somebody is infectious, rather than just having infection, but is infectious to others. And we've seen the rollout of that in the UK in particular, but also more and more over in the US. And basically, it's health and safety. It's an additional harm reduction tool, so that we can detect those that are infected.
So we're likely to start using it here.
It is likely. I suppose that will be the decision for the minister when the group report directly into the minister.
Okay. Professor Mary Horgan, thank you very much indeed for joining us.